Good morning, everyone. Yes, I am Costa Rican by birth and Spaniard by adoption, and I live in the Middle East, in the island of Cyprus, the Barnabas land. So, and it's been a privilege to be living there for a number of years with my family. So, I have to tell you that I raised speaking Spanish, not in English, so my apologize beforehand for destroying your language. So, yes, it's been as well a joy to be in touch with your church and your churches last week, sharing about God's heart for the world and the urgency to preach the gospel to the people that not yet known Jesus as a Savior here in Canada, but globally as well. And we, my family and I, live in the Muslim world with one passion, is to lead in a lovely way our Muslim friends from knowing Jesus as a prophet towards knowing Jesus as a God and a Savior. And it's been a joy. It's been a joy. In a world full of prejudice about the Muslim faith, it's been a joy to be friend with them and just understanding that they have needs as you and me. And they have families, they are raising kids, they need a job, and they need to fill out a growing sense or need of eternity. There's eternity in their hearts. So it's been our joy just to be walking side by side with our Muslim friends, just appointing Jesus and walking together before the Lord. It's been a joy. But at the same time, I am Latin American. I'm from Costa Rica, a very tiny country in Central America. And I grew up in a time when being Protestant believer was just an insult for a family. So that was very difficult for my mom and my parents to digest that not everybody at home was a Catholic believer. So that was a pretty tough season in the Latin American world. But even though the Holy Spirit has been visiting our lands and our churches, and it's been just wonderful to see hundreds, maybe thousands of Latin Americans come into the knowledge of Jesus as well. About 25 years ago, we were gathered, Latin Americans, in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. We have been receptors or receivers of missionaries for more than 100 years. So we were growing in a context where Americans and Canadians as well were coming to our lands to preach the gospel. And you did a wonderful job. It's part of your legacy as a nation to bless us with the gospel. So, but we were together in Brazil for a week. And the very last day, one of our pastors, his name is Luis Bush, we were about 4,000 Latin Americans in Sao Paulo. You can imagine the kind of party disaster that we had during those days, celebrating the name of the Lord. And then our brother Luis Bush was sharing the word, and then suddenly he said, I just feel in my heart that the time is coming for us to not be just a mission field, but becoming a missions force. To share the gospel globally in the same way that others have come to our lands to share the gospel. And that was the beginning. About 20,000 Latin Americans are serving globally overseas, preaching the gospel, and I don't know why, but mainly among Muslims. This has been just a connection between the Latin American world and the Muslim world. Muslims were living in Spain for about 800 years. I was living in Granada for 10 years with my family and my kids in a city that is a mix of European culture and Arab culture meld together in one city. So if you have never come up to Granada, you have to come. It's just a beautiful city. And we have the Alhambra Castle, the last Muslim kingdom in Spain, were based in Granada. So, and then from that point, we've been sharing the good news with Muslims, mainly in the North Africa region, now the Middle East, and then Central Asia. So, and that's our passion. That's my passion. So, but the missionary task globally is not finished yet. And there's an urgency for more workers, and there's an urgency for more local churches becoming involved, sharing the gospel here at home, but globally as well. So in a season where it's becoming more and more difficult to explain our intolerant way to understand faith, because we Christians believe that there's no other way to get to the Father but Jesus Christ. And that could become a quite intolerant message, I understand. So, but just seeing Jesus Christ changing life, just it might explain everything. Everything. So I want to share with you this morning Philippians verse 4, chapter 4, excuse me, from verses 10 to 20. And this one is a wonderful letter from Paul. You know, seems like Paul was on jail, might be in Rome, and still expecting what's going to happen with him before the future. And then suddenly, he got some visitors. One of them is Epaphroditus. I don't know how you pronounce it in English. So, but you may have there a beautiful name for your future kids or grandsons or whatever. Epaphroditus. Frodo for us. Frodo. So Frodo came to visit Paul in Rome, and he was bringing some presents and offerings for Paul. And it seems like Epaphroditus was sharing some very good news and some difficulties that the church in Philippos was facing. So, and that's the very reason of the letter. Finally, Paul asked Timothy and Epaphroditus to go back to Philippos. How do you pronounce Philippos in English? Philippos? Philippi. Thank you very much. Philippi. But the Spanish is closer to Latin, so it might be Philippi. So, Philippi. Philippi. So, and that's it. That's the result of that request from Paul to Timothy and Epaphroditus. It's, as you may remember, it's a letter full of joy. And what really surprised us is that Paul, at this point, really does not well what's going to happen with him. He's on jail. So, in a very critical situation. Might be quite alone. And he is recommending joy many, many times, at least 16 times throughout the whole letter. And we have two words in Spanish. I don't know in English, sorry. But we have alegría and joy and gozo. So gozo is joy, and alegría, I have no idea. So, but at least 16 times recommending joy or rejoice again and again. But that advice coming from someone else with a very difficult situation, with uncertainty before his future, really empowered the message from someone else in a very terrible situation. And he's recommending joy. And at the same time, Paul is recommending unity to the church in Philippi. And he is asking them, please, if I can summarize, behave in a way that might honor the name of the Lord. Because we are like stars in the sky. And we have to do what we are before the Lord. So, finally, in this section, what we are going to be reading, Paul is expressing gratitude to the churches in Philippi for the presents and offerings. And I just want to be careful not focusing our attention on money, because that's not the point, even though there's some dialogue about money. His passion is about relationship. He's expressing gratitude. They have been with him for a long time as companions of his ministry in many ways. So we are going to be, yes, jumping around money issues, but the main point is about relationship and about a local church working together with the apostle towards finishing up the Great Commission in a certain time. Do you understand what I mean? Well, the first miracle happened. So let's read together. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Maybe they were losing contact with Paul. Paul, if you remember, when he got arrested in Jerusalem, the whole thing between Jerusalem and Rome was really difficult. You know, sailing throughout the Mediterranean Sea, storms, getting in an island, snakes in between, miracles, conversions, travel around the Italian peninsula, and finally got in Rome. And at this point, they got him. They realized where he was. So he's rejoicing about having these Macedonian brothers visiting them in Rome. So it says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. It's interesting how Paul is going to be taking some distance on money issues. He's saying, gracias, thank you very much for coming. But I'm not saying this because your offerings, because I have learned to be content before the Lord. So he's expressing joy because Epaphroditus was there. And Epaphroditus was a representative of their brothers and sisters in Macedonia, the first European region where the gospel was preached. So I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret, and the word secret in Greek is mystery. I have learned the mystery to be content, whatever I have abundance, or I am in the midst of poverty. I have learned something from the Lord in the midst of difficult circumstances. And he's telling them, the Christian life is not about a kind of Christian magic. And I am quite afraid sometimes about our speech, preaching the gospel, promising the things that we cannot promise to the people that comes to the gospel. Actually, sometimes coming to the gospel is just promising more problems. But Paul, and I remember becoming, you know, in a Catholic world, becoming a Protestant believer. I was telling my friends last week in Calgary, the time when I came to Jesus, 1982, in my home, we had three attitudes in my house. There's three terrible things that could happen to a family in Costa Rica, 1982. Believe it or not, to have a communist member in our home, that was terrible, communist, you know? That was a curse for different reasons. So we were facing the Sandinista War, and Costa Rica was always in between, with Noriega in Panama and with the communists in Nicaragua. So in my country, we were growing with that kind of fear. And we don't have army forces in Costa Rica, believe it or not. So we were so scared. Number two, the second curse could be having a prostitute in home. That was terrible in our homes in Costa Rica. And number three, to have a Protestant believer at home. So that was, you know, boo, the Protestants are coming. And let me say something. The Pentecostals are coming. That was the whole thing. So nobody promised me an easy life when I came to Jesus. Promised me a personal relationship with God, Jesus Christ. If I may say, I don't know if Okay, if I say some kind of paganism, it's because of language. So, okay, then. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the mystery, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Then verse 13, very well known. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. The promise of do many things in the name of the Lord is surrounded not by an easy life. The promise comes saying, yes, Christian life could be quite difficult, but I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Holding his hand, everything, it might be possible. Possible. And you know, serving in Muslim lands, I found myself repeating this verse many times before Muslims, sometimes quite aggressive, sometimes just expecting something from the Christian world. You know, and it's been funny. I've been telling you about Protestant communists and prostitutes at home in Costa Rica. And when you go to some Muslim places, their first reaction is, ooh, Westerners or Christians. Wine drinkers, adulteries, adúlteros, bebedores de vino, and idolaters. Yes, nice to meet you. You know, that's, and sometimes that's what is in their minds when you are speaking with some of our Muslim friends. And you have to explain, to overcome, and to tell them. I was sharing with my friends last week about buying a car in Cyprus. You know, and in Cyprus, it might take a week buying a second-hand car and going through the whole paperwork. So growing in Latin America just prepared me for that kind of things. So, and I was together with one Muslim, the owner of the car was a Muslim friend from Syria, from Damascus, a very strong Muslim. And he was fasting, he was in Ramadan, and we were together a week, going from one office to another. And he was fasting under the sun of the Middle East in August. That was terrible. And then someday he told me, Alan, I got headache because I'm fasting. And I am a Muslim. No water, no food during the whole day, just during the night. So, and by the way, do you believe in anything? So that was a beautiful opportunity. And I said, yes, I am a Christian believer. But between Lady Gaga and myself, there's some differences. So, and if you have time, I would love to share with you the differences. And then he told me immediately, but everybody knows that you don't have the real revelation from God, because Muslims have the real revelation that comes from Allah, revealed by one of the angels to the prophet in Arabic. And I said, well, we are quite tied before you, because we believe that our scriptures were revealed in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, revealed by God as well. So we are one on one, my friend. So, and then he said, yes, but I've been comparing your scriptures between English and Greek, and I have seen some differences. And I said, yes, but I bought a Quran book in Spanish in Madrid, and I was comparing your book with your original one, and there's some differences as well. And then he said, well, you catch me up. So, and then I told him, but my point, Samir, I really don't want to discuss about religion. I just want to share with you what Isa al-Masih did for me. Isa, Jesus, al-Masih, the Messiah. What the Messiah did for me. He came to my life when I was a teenager, and he has changed everything in my life. My priorities, my heart, and it's been changing my mind. Give me a new life, a family, a purpose in life. And Samir, let me tell you something. I'm going to die, but this my flesh will see the face of the Lord someday, because my name is written in the book of life. What about you, my dear Samir? And he didn't say anything. The day after, when we were in another office, suddenly he told me, Alan, I have to tell you something. I'm tricking you. My car is a total disaster. And I said, but what are you telling me the truth? And then he said, because since yesterday, I've been thinking in the Messiah, and I just cannot take his name out of my mind. And something is telling me I cannot touch this guy. And then he said, you have to be a holy man. And I said, well, I am a fat man, but not a holy. And I preached again. The very last day, my friends, he told me, can I repair the car? And I said, yes. The very last day, we were in the last office. And then, when we were just paying, the lady of the government told me, there's about $1,500 on traffic fines. Who's going to pay this, the new owner or the former owner? And I saw Samir and I told him, Samir, give me a break, brother. What's the problem with you? And then he immediately reacts, saying something in Arabic like, shame on me, shouting. Hashuma, hashuma, shame on me, shame on me. And then he told me, do you have my money on your pocket? And I said, yes, give me my money now. Samir, please, now we are friends. Give me my money now. So I commend myself to the Lord, and I gave him my money. And then he immediately paid every one of the traffic fines. And then he told me, you have to be a holy man, because I've been thinking in Jesus the whole week. So now you are my friend. It's beautiful, isn't it? What the Lord can do with his name. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance, well, that's difficult, with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. He is using financial terminologies here. I have received full payment and I have more than enough. I amply supply now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you send. They are, pay attention, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Your attitude please God. And my God, then, the promise again comes with a context. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The promise comes with a context. And finally, it says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Four thoughts this morning. You know, number one, Paul is expressing to the Macedonian churches that their participation with him in the task may transform the churches in Macedonia as, if I may say, co-participants of what the Lord is doing through Paul. You have been with me in Thessalonica, another Macedonian city. You have been with me in the rest of Macedonia. They were with Paul in Corinth when Paul was raising the offering for the poor people. And even Paul was using the Macedonian church as an example of poor churches giving more than what they could. So, and you have been with me in this. I'm not looking for your money. I'm looking that you might become co-participants with me on what the Lord is doing for the Gentiles. When our churches become part of the Great Commission in different ways, here in Canada or globally, we become co-participants of the fruits of what the Lord is doing. So Paul is celebrating the Macedonian involvement with him in his ministry. That was a lovely relationship. That was a friendship. But at the same time, they were co-participants. When we become actors from Vancouver or whatever in Canada, cooperating, sending, or praying, or giving, or going, we become co-participants of what the Lord is doing globally. And God is doing wonderful things, my friends. It's a harvest time in many places. And actually, now, many of the former missionary fields are praying for the West. That's interesting. There's thousands of churches in the Latin world and in the Middle East praying for the U.S. and Canada and Europe. So the former missionary fields praying for the former only one sending countries in the Great Commission. Co-participants of what the Lord is doing. That reminds me, Gustavo Fallas, a lawyer, Costa Rican lawyer, that was serving in Uzbekistan, Tashkent, Central Asia, and the former Soviet Union. We had, at that time, a Spanish school in Tashkent. And we had full house for 15 years. Why Uzbekis and Tajiks and Kazakhs were wanting to learn Spanish, I have no idea. But for 15 years, and at the same time, we were sharing about Latin American culture, Mexican cooking, or Dominican Republic music. And you have to see Uzbekis trying to dance merengue music in Central Asia. So we had the largest Spanish school in Central Asia because it was the only one, so it was the largest. And when we have been planting churches through that way. So our churches became part of that task, or that job. Do you know what I mean? They were praying, they were sustaining. And then suddenly, Abdullah came to Christ. He realized that Jesus was more than a prophet. He realized, and you know, for Muslims to realize that someday we will see the face of the Lord is just something that blows their minds. That my friend, we are going to see the face of the Lord someday. We have that kind of trust. And we are going to be celebrating with people from every nation in our own languages the name of the Lamb and the name of the King forever and ever. And Abdullah came to Christ, and they were standing miracles in the New Testament. And Gustavo told Abdullah, what's the reason? What you have learned about miracles? And then suddenly Abdullah said, yes, I believe in miracles, Gustavo. But I was realizing back in my home that might be the most important miracle in my life is having you here in Tashkent preaching me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So the churches that were sending Gustavo were co-participants. Number two, our participation, the participation of the Macedonian churches were a blessing for Paul. Their participation represents a joy for a worker that have been facing hundreds of difficult circumstances. And they develop an amazing relationship between them. So when we are participating in the task of preaching the gospel here and beyond, we can become a blessing for the workers, my friends. A blessing. So I'm going to be trying to be faster. But I remember some of my friends from Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Honduras preaching the gospel in West Africa, in Mali, among the Kasonke and Soninke tribes, Muslim tribes in West Africa, on the villages of Kurukula and Takotala. Take note because we're going to have a quiz by the end of the hall, you know. West Africa, Mali, Soninkes, Kasonkes, in the villages of Kurukula and Takotala. Praise God, I'm Pentecostal and speaking tongues. So... And then there were Nicaraguans. You know, we have a family of Nicaraguans with seven kids living in the middle of nowhere in northern Mali. And we were so concerned about having a family from Nicaragua, one of the poorest countries of the Western Hemisphere, with seven kids. We were wrong. To have seven kids for Orlando before Muslims transformed him in the hero of the village. So, and we had Doña Evinia, or Evinia Sanchez, a woman from Central America that went to the Muslim world in their 50s. She was working for the Christian radio broadcast, and he got the vision, I don't know how. And she went on her 50s to Mali. So someday, I was traveling in a member care trip with a pastor from San Jose. We were traveling from San Jose to Spain, from Spain to Dakar, Senegal, from Dakar to Bamako, the capital city of Mali. And then we took a train 17 hours up in the north to the city of Kai. And then we took a jeep 5 hours to Kurukula and Takotala. They took seriously about the ends of the earth, that part. And we were holding the whole time big suitcases from Central American churches, and we got rice and beans, you know, and have you heard about the tea diet? Tacos, tortas, tortillas, and tamales. So, and we were bringing this kind of stuff in our baggages, and when we got in Kurukula and Takotala, the ends of the world, those Latin American workers came to us like kids on Christmas, opening up the baggages. And then I realized what kind of stuff I was bringing. You know, please forgive me. Oh, Lord, you know, that was terrible. You know, how do you say, food that were already cooked. And we were traveling all over Europe, but yeah, I don't know. That was beautiful to see the workers, even though. So, but then at that time, there was a CD that one church from San Jose had sent it to Evinia. That was her local church. And we were there in a shack in the middle of this desert, connecting the TV to the battery of a car in the middle of nowhere, and seeing the CD that was a Sunday service in a Costa Rican church. That was her local church. And one of the leaders of the worship team was Evinia's son. You know what I mean? And then we were there in the middle of the desert among the Kasonke, Soninke people in Kurukula and Takotala in West Africa. And then we were watching the TV, and they were seeing the service, so the Sunday service. And then Evinia's son was leading the worship, and then he said, Mom, seeing the camera, he said, Mom, I'm worshiping the name of the Lord Jesus, but in my heart, I am thinking in you. That was fantastic. And just to see Evinia on her tears in the middle of nowhere. And then I realized what Paul was referring to. I am so happy. He said in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Do you know what I mean? Number one, to be co-participants. Number two, to be a blessing to the laborers. Number three, I'm going to be running now. Paul is saying your involvement is going to be a blessing for you as well. God is going to be blessing you for your generosity. Not because it's a financial transaction. Don't be wrong. Paul is celebrating their generous response to the Lord. Not because it's a money, banking, wire transaction. It's because that was a lovely way to respond to the Lord in a generous way. That's what Paul is celebrating. And then Paul said to them, my God will meet your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And this whole issue of money and prosperity gospel, I don't know here in Canada, but it's destroying the Church of the Lord in Africa and Latin America, very poor continents, because a misunderstanding about money. But that God is trusting us his resources to be blessed, to be a blessing for us, and us to be a blessing for others. And we are giving to the work of the Lord in a lovely response to our Father, to our Heavenly Father. That's why we give money. He says a lovely response to the owner of everything that has been transforming me in a kind of a steward of His resources. You see what I mean? So that's why we bless others. Not because we are expecting something. It's because we are responding to His love. So it's a holy way to manage the resources that He has been trusting us. And finally, verse 20. Paul is saying then, when you become part of the Great Commission in Canada and beyond, you are co-participants. You could be a blessing for the laborers. And God is going to be blessing you for your generosity, for your lovely response. And finally, he said, to God be the glory. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Paul is closing this section with worship. And I have memorized this from John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad. So I cannot quote the book in English, sorry. But it says something like, the day for evangelism and missions will be ending someday. But worship to God will be forever. Forever. And at the end of the day, what we are doing is, yes, rescuing people from fire and hell. And at the same time, we are packing heaven with an army of worshipers. You know what I mean? So yes, people are in danger. And please, in the name of the Lord, let's be careful about questioning the eternity of people. Because it's becoming more and more popular in the West to be questioning everything. And yes, there's a place for questions. But at the end of the day, if we question the position of the scriptures, we are going to be destroying not the Christian faith. We are going to be destroying our faith. Because the Christian faith has been surviving for 2,000 years. With or without our support. But we are hindering ourselves when we are doubting about who Jesus is and what about the scriptures. So, yes, we are in a kind of an emergency operation, rescuing people from hell. Yes. But at the same time, this former, may I say, unredeemed sinners are going to become worshipers. Worshipers. And someday we will be gathered, people from every nation, tribe, and language all together. You know, Canadians with Caribbeans, be prepared for heaven. Africans. Africans have to be the most happier people in the world, celebrating and dancing the name of the Lord all together. A mix of colors. One voice saying, to Jesus be the glory. To the one who is sit at the throne be the glory. Let me read this for you and not being destroying your language. In Revelation, I love it. You might be known this by memory. And it says, after this I look and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Verse 12, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's the destiny of the Great Commission. Yes, to be co-participant with the Lord, to be a blessing to the laborers, to be a blessing to our own communities and churches by God's grace, and at the same time, towards the most wonderful worshiping concert in the whole history of the humankind, appointing Jesus, the Lamb, and the King. That's why We want to see our churches involved in missions. Because someday the task will be finished. But worshiping is going to be forever. Let's pray together. That's going to be a bilingual prayer. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, bendigo a mis hermanos por la obra de tus manos, por lo que has hecho en sus vidas, por salvarles con la sangre de Cristo. I want to bless your name for the lives of my brothers and sisters, because they have been cleaned by the blood of Jesus. They have been filled out by hope and salvation, and someday we are going to see your face, face to face. This my flesh will see the beautiful face of the Lord. And then we are going to be all together worshiping your name forever and ever. We pray for our own congregation. Yes, Lord, we want to be co-participants of what you are doing in Canada and beyond. Give us a passion for our neighbors here in Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa, Toronto, or whatever, Montreal. Give us a passion for our nation. Please, a passion for our nation, for the destiny, the terrible destiny of the people who don't know you yet. But at the same time, while we have a passion for Canada, give us a passion for the Muslim world, for Africa, Latin America, and the world, and beyond. Passion for the souls. Please, we want to be co-participants with you. We want to be your partners. We want to be a blessing for the workers. And yes, give us resources with just one thing in mind, to bless others. To be stewards of your blessing, to bless others, to bless your work. And please don't allow us to lose our sight, the destiny of our work, that is worshiping the name of Jesus. Worshiping the name of Jesus. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power be to our God forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Gracias, gracias.
He came in early. We still got 10 more minutes here. So what we've been doing other Sundays is just taking for a reflection back from the audience.
How beautiful.
As to he might have raised a question, or maybe something from your own experience that just says amen to that. So we'll just take a moment. If nobody, we'll go for coffee. But do you have a question? Or yeah, please, Margo.
Yes, buenos dias.
Louder.
Amen.
The framework of evangelism, and that we speak the English language, and that is a
you're very right.
To just about anywhere.
You are very right.
If you want to get your feet wet, come Monday night and see what we're doing, and see if God wants to use you in that field.
Yes.
There'll be more later.
Yes.
Thank you, Mario.
Thank
yes.
You.
Yes.
You, a small comment. I went out to Boise, Idaho, trying to improve my English. I failed, by the way. So, and I was there for 6 months in Boise. And Word Relief is bringing people from all over the world to Boise, as what you have here in Vancouver. And I remember having classmates from Iraq, Uzbekistan, from South America, from wherever. And yes, ESL was a wonderful vehicle for that, for sharing the gospel.
See, you're right on. You've caught the wind of the Spirit. Somebody else. Just make sure you speak loudly. How did God speak to you this morning?
Re-emphasizing the importance of the Word of God as a foundation for the Christian life.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It seems there's an urgency of the gospel. Brother Allen, for example, is a different Pentecostal group than we're a part of, but nobody cares. Nobody cares because that's not what we care about. We care about people. And so we work with Baptists, we work with Presbyterians, right? You just jump over all barriers for the sake of the gospel, that nothing else matters. We have got so much in common with all of our evangelical people that we can, there's no sense taking positions on that. Let's take a position on the cross and the light of Jesus in our hearts. You know, I think the gospel, I am forever different because of the gospel.
Amen.
So, please. Amen.
Yeah.
And they are attracted to Jesus. We don't preach the word there. We are involved in friendship evangelism, and we do have a Christian content to some degree, but primarily we're trying to teach the nuts and bolts of speaking English. But when you said that we can say to the Muslims, we will see the face of Jesus, that's key for me.
God.
I've been trying to share other things, but I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does anybody have a question towards Alan's work that he does and what keeps him occupied, his passion? Is it mostly, would it come under the banner of church planting?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a word about immigrants coming to the West. You know, when they are coming, especially during the first few phases, we have a window of opportunity before they tend to close themselves again. So, but when you are moving to a different country, as you may know, this is my third country living with my family and my kids. Yes, we have a vulnerability window. That it takes 1 or 2 years, depends on the family and depends on your personality. That's a very critical moment. Then, at least in Europe, what is being happening is after this vulnerability window, they tend to close them in a kind of ghetto attitude. And then it might become really difficult to reach out them. But this first few years in a new country like Canada, such a wonderful opportunity. May the Lord use you on that regards.
One more.
Yes, we, you know, I believe in Acts 1:8, it's important to remember, thank you, brother. It's the sense of Acts 1:8 is not necessarily progressive, but the sense in the original language is a simultaneous action. So we need people in Vancouver at the same time that we need people in the Middle East. Both are important before the Lord. That's number one. But number two, while we maintain our faithful witness in our communities, we need senders to sustain your Canadian fellows overseas. And your group of churches are dreaming about seeing more Canadians being a blessing to others here in Canada, but at the same time overseas. So we need senders as well.
And even in the intercessors groups, to know now we've met another brother who is on the cutting edge, on the front lines of the Lord's work, remember to pray for him.
Thank you.
And,
amen.
It doesn't matter. Is he the ACOP? No, it doesn't matter. We'll just pray for him.
Amen.
Tell us about you have children? And
yes.
How old?
Yes, I have two wonderful kids. My daughter is 17 years old. And my son is 14. And they have been growing the missions field. So they're such wonderful kids. My wife is Patricia from Costa Rica as well. And we've been serving for a number of years overseas. Yes, among Muslims. Yeah.
Marcel and I and Mel, we had supper with Glenn and Tracy Ryland. And Alana is going to law school this fall, and she's also marking papers for Glenn at the university. Dr. Glenn, of course, now. But anyway, just again, connections and seeing people influencing others, it's wonderful. Well, is there any more? I'll give you take time for one more, and then we're going to shut it down. Is that it? Yep, please.
Mm-hmm.
But God is blessing me to help them.
Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. Yes, you are very right.
Marcel and I have felt a certain calling to Hawaii, but that's not till February.
So you can see. I've loved Paris.
The burden of the Lord is on us. At any rate, let's stand together.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for my brother Alan. Lord, we like his spirit. And we thank you that he's a laborer of yours. Mm-hmm. And we pray that the power of the Lord to be on him.
Amen.
The protection of the Lord upon his family and his life. And I pray, God, somehow if we can partner and bless and encourage each other, it's been rich, Lord, on every area here in this morning. Thank you. We commit what we've heard to you. Take us further, Lord, in the things of God. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And thank you, Lord, that book of Philippians is about joy. So, Lord, we thank you that the joy of the Lord
Amen.
Is our strength.
Amen.
We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias, hermanos.
Yes. Patio, if he is, you can catch him. If not, he's just having a cup of coffee. So, next service starts at 11. Pray for it as you go out.